Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. We fooled you. This is Larry Sonnenberg. Steve is not here today. I'm sitting in for him. And I am really blessed to be sitting next to one of the smartest people I know and one of the wisest, Alice Benton. Thank you.
Hi, Larry. It's mutual feeling. I love getting to work here with you.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of calls on the board, and I don't think we're going to take time to do our usual little chat because we want to get as many in as we can.
That's right.
And I want to go right to Ellie. She's in Woodland Park, Colorado. And where's she? Line 6, I think. Terry's got it up. Thank you. Hello, Ellie. How are you doing today?
Yes, I'm doing fine. I'm calling in because I have a question. I have suffered from chronic and severe depression most of my life. And I have had a therapist. I had a therapist that I saw for 10 years or more, and he was real helpful. And then we went through a spell where we didn't have any insurance, so I wasn't able to keep up with him. And I decided a while back that I needed to go back and see him again. But when I went in, I didn't feel the same connection that I had before, and I felt like I wasn't going to get exactly what I needed at that time. So, anyways, I've been pretty healthy for a long time, and recently it's kind of come back in waves where I was feeling just down and not motivated to do things and just a little bit overwhelmed with things in life. We have a situation in our home right now where I've been a caregiver. I've been a caregiver for most of my life, adult life, taking care of family members and working for a company that takes care of people in their homes. And recently, well, in the last 10 years, I've had my mother-in-law living with us, and I was her caregiver. And we've had to put her in a home recently because I suffer from fibromyalgia, and it was so severe at the time I was having trouble meeting all her needs and getting up and doing for her. And
Ellie, yeah. We have about 1 minute before we're going to a break. Can you pose a question that we could be contemplating?
Okay.
And then
this is my question. Okay. I'm 67 years old, and I'm wondering if going back into counseling would be advantageous to me.
Ellie, what makes you doubt that it would be beneficial?
Well, we covered so much ground. I went through therapy for so long.
Okay.
And
you're wondering if you've already done this, why should you go back and do it again? It's kind of a thought. Okay, well, we're going to answer that after the break. And before we go to the break,
all right.
Okay? So you just hold on, and we'll come back to you. But I just want to encourage folks who are listening, would you please consider supporting New Life? We love what we do. What we do is trying to help people change lives and find a new way to get that transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind that Romans 12:2 talks about. And it's your support that makes it happen. Joining Club New Life is one way you can do that. We've got great benefits, a great thank you gift. We've got a video library, and we need 6 people a day. Be one of those 6, would you, today to sign up for that. We'll be right back.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking to Ellie, and she has been fighting depression for some time, had sought counseling, lost insurance, so quit counseling, and now she's wondering, should she go back to counseling? Could it still help? She's already been there. Alice, what would you say?
Larry, I think Ellie's asking a terrific question, because I would bet a lot of our listeners, because you have the courage to listen to this show, maybe you've gotten your help already. So when you come to a point where you're suffering again from something you already did work on previously, it can be so hard to acknowledge, I need help again with this. I thought I was done with it. And Ellie, I think it takes incredible humility to be willing to know and to say that you need assistance again. But it fits, though, with the pattern of chronic depression as well, because depression tends to come in episodes where it really hits you and you suffer more deeply for a time, and then it can resolve partially or even completely. But the nature of depression is that it will come back. And then, Ellie, you add in the life factors that you told us about. You're a caregiver both personally and professionally. What a drain on you and your own internal limited resources. So it completely makes sense to me that you need to be fed by somebody else outside of you, both emotionally, spiritually, and perhaps even physically, because you care for others. You give and give and give. And most of us that have gone to therapy already in our lives, it's not uncommon to experience what you described, where you do work with a therapist and then that work completes and you went back to him and you said it just didn't feel like the same fit anymore. You needed a different connection for a different time in your life. And so I would encourage you to shop around. That's a good thing. God may have a different therapist to speak differently to you in your life at this time. The last point I'll add is that when we go through new life events, it can reveal different levels of our previous wounds that we thought had been healed. And I would look at it as God's gentle invitation to go in and do deeper work on the areas you have already worked on with a therapist. God wants more healing with you and for you, and he's calling you back into a very specific professional healing relationship to do that. And then let us help you find a therapist that can be a good fit for you. Yeah. New Life is great at that.
That's right. I was just going to say that. We can help you. I'm hoping we have somebody right there in Woodland Park, Colorado, but talk and let us transfer you over. The call screener will help you, and we can find somebody that can help you. So thank you so much, Ellie. Okay, we want to go straight and talk to Mary in Orlando, Florida. She listens on WTLN. Hello, Mary. How can we help you today?
Well, I'm not suicidal, but I don't have a desire for life. And I have friends, but I don't feel love. And I don't know what to do.
Okay. Do you live alone first?
Yes, I do.
All right. And are you part of a church? Do you have a community of friends?
Yes.
How often do you get to see them? How often do you meet? What do you go deep with them? Do you talk to them and tell them how you feel?
The only time I see people is at church, and that's why I don't feel like my friends are really friends. I don't feel like I can call somebody up and say, hey, I'd like to go somewhere and talk, or I'd like to go get a coffee. I've been in therapy. I come from a very abusive background. Mm-hmm. I didn't even remember my past till I was almost 30.
Wow.
But I don't know. I've just never had a desire for life. Like people say, they wake up and say, thank you for a new day. I don't understand that.
Mary,
I don't have that.
Mary, I think we can even hear some of the pain and the wounds in your voice as you speak now, that although you've gotten some help, you do continue to struggle, perhaps in part from your background, maybe from additional things. Are you still receiving therapy?
I am. I'm not sure I'm in the right place. Ellie said, I'm not sure if it's the right fit.
How long have you been with this current therapist?
About a year.
Mm-hmm. Have you told your current therapist that you feel ambiguous about how well therapy is working for you?
No.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that would be a hard thing for you to tell that person. Is it tough for you to bring what might bring up conflict or what might disappoint or even frustrate the other person? Is that hard for you to bring into conversation?
Yeah, because to me, conflict means pain.
Absolutely. So you might tend to avoid what could be conflictual. You might avoid those tough conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say you also tend towards people-pleasing?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's so natural, given even just your background, and maybe it's just a part of your nature that you're a very pleasant person that has a tendency just to be kind. So that makes sense. You asked originally, is it normal to feel the way that I feel? And I want to tell you, Mary, it's not uncommon to feel the way that you feel, but it is not a healthy way to live. It's not natural. It's not what God has for us. And so I love that you have had the courage to seek therapy. And you may need more courage now to be willing to either talk directly to your therapist about feeling like therapy's not working. We therapists, we're actually trained to hear that and to deal with that. So a therapist worth their salt will be able to hear you say, I'm a little worried this isn't working. And that therapist should be able to help draw you out to figure out either what can your therapist right now do differently or to encourage you to go elsewhere. And Mary, you have the right and really the obligation to yourself that if this one therapist isn't working, you can quit even without going back and look for another therapist, although I'd really recommend trying to have this conversation if you can. One of the most important pieces of whether or not therapy will work is your sense of connection with your therapist and your sense of whether or not it's working. And if it's not there, even if your therapist is fantastic and has great background, great knowledge, that person may just not be the right fit for you. Now, we've been talking about this on some recent shows that we did, that if that therapist is not the right fit and doesn't become the right fit, shopping around is something that New Life can help us with because we have a whole network of counselors. And a beautiful thing New Life does is if you give a donation to be able to get an initial session with a therapist, you get the names of three therapists for this very reason so that you can try people out. So, Mary, when I start therapy with a new patient, I'll tell them, you have to let me know if it's not working. Be frank with me, because either I need to change something or I'm not the right fit for you, or we need to figure out how to work it out. Do you think you can bring your concern back to your therapist?
Yes.
You can. Oh, that's so brave. Good for you. Good for you. So that therapist, I think, will give you a good response, will be able to help you with that. And if you need more, come back to us, and we'll help you figure out a good fit for a therapist.
I was just going to say, I'd love to hear from her. a couple of weeks down the line after she's had a session or two with the therapist and made that that appeal. Mary, thank you. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think that could be helpful to you, and we'll be praying for you. I know it's going to be tough for you to make that discussion, but you can do it. Before I go to next caller, I want to remind people that we're coming up real quick on our Life Recovery Conference, May the 18th, and that's Friday coming up. It's Steve Arterburn will be there, Dave Stoop, Chris Williams. There's somebody I'm missing, but not from the New Life team. But anyway, they're going to speak on life recovery. That's Friday afternoon, and then Friday night we're going to do a 30th anniversary celebration. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll talk through some history. You'll hear from the folks. We're just going to enjoy the evening and celebrate 30 years. 30 years is quite an accomplishment to do anything these days.
Now, will there be cake?
I'm not going there. And then Saturday morning is the conclusion of the Life Recovery Conference. It's in Fairfax, Virginia. It's at Fairfax Community Church. Call our 800 number, or you could go online for the Life Recovery Conference and register. But we'd love to see you there. There'll be a few of us there that are not the radio team, and we'd love to see you there. Okay, Anna, how can we help you?
Hi. Is it my turn?
It is your turn. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Okay. Thank you. So the question's about me. The background is my husband has been struggling with sexual addiction for decades, and we did all the hard work and help, and going into round four of falling in recovery, I don't think I have the strength to try anymore. And I'm afraid of making wrong choices. And and I am a people pleaser, so afraid of letting people down. I know that my husband takes full responsibility and is back on track, but we're separated right now. But I just don't have it in my...
When you say he's back on track, tell me what that means.
I'm taking full responsibility in his accountability group, speaking daily to an accountability partner, reading good books, having a devoted prayer life.
Okay. And you're having trouble just restoring that trust.
Yeah, because it's been probably over 7 years now, and I'm usually bounced back, and I'm full of joy, and Jesus can do everything, and I know that he can, and I haven't changed on that, but I'm to the point where I psychologically can't go through the trying again. I don't know. I know that I have the right to say that, but it feels also like, aren't you supposed to keep on keeping on?
Well, perseverance is a good thing, but there's limits as well. But what have you done for yourself?
Probably not a lot.
Okay, that's a good admission.
Yeah, because before I likened it to, you know, when someone's in the middle of a car accident and you just run and you take care of them, and then when they're settled, then you just kind of fall apart in the waiting room. So I've been through that and done that. Now I'm at the stage where I feel like two ambulances are pulling up to the emergency room. One is him and one is me. You know, and we're both going in different directions now to get healed. Does that make sense? Instead of me being the cheerleader and finding all the help that he needs.
Mm-hmm. Anna, sometimes we have to go in different directions, even for a time, to be able to get fully the healing that we need. When Larry asked you that question and you responded with, you haven't gotten much help for yourself, I thought I heard a catch in your voice. I wonder how physically and emotionally exhausted you are.
Exhausted.
Round four, 7 years. And round four sounded to me like there have been major relapses in your husband's sexual addiction at least four times that you're aware of.
Mm. Right, right. I mean, this would be round four if he came home, you know, and it's he's just very good at not being honest. I don't even like to say lying. It's true, it's lying, but completely can't trust. You know what I'm saying?
Hannah, it sounds like you have reason not to trust. And when we come back from the break in a moment, we want to talk with you about some of the powerful things you can be doing because of that separation from your husband to take care of yourself and to find out if it's even safe to move forward or not. Separation may be the very best thing for you, but also for him. And we'll tell a little bit more. We'll tell you more about that and equip you with some things to look for, some things to consider to help yourself and even to help him in the process.
So just hold the line. We'll come back to you right after the break here, Anna, and we'll get you some help. So hold on.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference in Washington, D.C. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Washington, D.C., May 18th and 19th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking with Anna, and her husband has been to every man's battle, but he's fallen off the wagon a couple times, and maybe three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
And she's weary. She's tired. And looking, what does she do now? Alice, you have some thoughts.
I do, Larry. Oh, because, Anna, our hearts go out to you. It's so hard to know when your husband seems to be saying the right things now. How much do you trust? How much do you expose yourself, make yourself vulnerable again to him after being hurt so many times?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you don't trust. You do not trust. Not yet. Because I don't think he has shown you enough proof of change, consistent change over time, for it to be safe for you to trust him. It's not safe right now to trust him. And unfortunately, a separation can be a very powerful motivator for a man that's going through what he's going through. And a danger I have seen, a pitfall I have seen with couples, is that after a separation, the one who has been hurt, like you in this situation, is too quick to forgive and trust and allow their partner back again before there is proof of change. So I wanted to speak briefly to this idea of trust versus forgiveness, because forgiveness is so important for us who have been victimized that we might continue forward in our healing process. But even biblically, we're encouraged not to trust until there is proof of change over time. By time, I mean, it can really take 2 years to rebuild and heal an attachment that has been so severely broken like yours has been over these 7 years that you've been going through this. No wonder you're exhausted.
How long have you been separated, Anna?
About 4 months.
Okay.
Is your husband asking to come back?
No, because he understands that I'm not able for that right now.
Okay, that's a good sign.
He would like you very much.
Have you sought counseling anywhere, Anna?
I did previously, but not this time around. I just didn't feel like I had the energy, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I did in 2000, I think it was 14, do Every Heart Restored, which was wonderful.
Oh, good.
So I did do some things for myself.
Okay.
Do you and your husband have children?
Yes.
And how young is the youngest?
17.
17, okay.
He's living with you, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, that's where it gets tricky.
It does.
I want to give you some signs that you should be aware of and looking for with your husband as you decide, when do I trust him and should I even trust him at all? It's a good sign that he's giving you your space and he seems to be understanding. He seems to be a little bit empathic. That's one of the signs. If he can show empathy for your needs and empathy for the pain he has caused you and your children. So I'd want, as a clinician, I'd want to be able to hear that from him rather than finger pointing that he did these things, he relapsed because of you, because you weren't giving him enough, that he's taking the full responsibility and he's able to express empathy for how much pain he has caused you and your kids. I would also want to be seeing him getting professional assistance from someone who has expertise in sex addiction, because it is such a complicated struggle that you really need a professional who has focused in on that area. And then I would want you to have access to that professional to get feedback from the professional about how your husband is progressing in treatment. Is he in individual therapy right now?
He is. Yeah.
He is. And do you have access to the therapist? Does the therapist give you feedback?
No, none. No, I haven't thought of that.
Okay, that would be a great thing to ask for and even require from your husband before you're willing to trust him. And then I want to go back to time. That 4 months is a start there in your separation, but for my opinion, it's certainly not enough time for you to know, is this good behavior going to continue or not? And I truly, it takes 2 years to build healthy attachment. I would ask you not to consider reuniting at least under the same roof until you see up to even a year of proof of change from your husband.
Anna, I want we're going to send you a book. I want to send you two books. I want to send you Worthy of Her Trust. That's a book that the man who leads our Everyman's Battle workshop wrote. And it lays out steps of the things that he did and that other guys that you like your husband need to do to regain trust with a wife. And it'd be good for you to read that as well as good for him to read that. Because it takes time to rebuild trust, everything to do with their behavior and their spirit and their attitude, and nothing to do with what they say without that supportive evidence. The other book is a workbook. It's called Rescue, and Jason's wife Shelley, who leads our Restore workshop, you went to Women in the Battle. We revamped that workshop a little. We have a different speaker, and she wrote the book called Rescue, and it's a workbook that you go through that will help you in learning what to do when the trust is restored and how your heart can be restored and where you get your strength and such. So we're going to send those to you, and I just want to say thank you for calling us. Okay?
I have to bring up, even though we hate divorce, God hates divorce, but there is a biblical basis. It seems like God understands we sometimes need to pull back and protect ourselves, and adultery, especially chronic adultery, is one of those biblical reasons for drawing back and protecting ourselves.
Good point. Barbara and Noah, please hold on. We will get to your calls before this program is over, and we'll be right back to take one of those. So hold on.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with some encouragement for you this week. If you struggle with anger, divorce, grief, weight loss, or many other things, we believe you can benefit from a life recovery experience. If you want to find a life recovery meeting, we can help you with that. Or if you want to know how to start a life recovery group in your church, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Reba, and she can get you started. Also, we have an app for your smartphone or tablet. It allows you to live stream New Life Live and catch up on archived programs. You can read articles. There are short audio and video teachings as well. Just go to newlife.com and look for the download the app link. It's right at the bottom of the homepage. Larry, back to you.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. I want to remind folks that we always need your financial support. And so we are looking for folks to just help us maintain this wonderful ministry. This is a ministry of hope and healing. It's where the rubber meets the road, and there aren't many like us. So I want you to listen to each phone call and think, what would happen to any of these callers who called? What would the case be if New Life wasn't on the air and New Life wasn't dispensing the information, the wisdom, the counsel? That's what we want to prevent from happening, and your goodwill and your support will help us toward that end.
It's not an exaggeration to say that at times it is a life and death difference, or it's a divorce or a restoration of a marriage difference. It is that important.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go and we're going to talk to Barbara in Houston, Texas. Listens on KKHT. Hello, Barbara. How can we help you today?
Hi, guys. First off, I do want to say, everyone should support this program because they've restored families, and I know in my relationship they've made my marriage grow stronger, so that's pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I'm glad I found you. But my question is, it's regarding my brother. He is going to be a new father, and he just met this girl relatively recently, and my question is, how can I help encourage my family to, just be a united front behind them and be supportive and positive, because They've not been very kind since they found out about them dating, and since we just learned that, you know, she's pregnant, they got married, and she's going to, they're going to have the baby, and that's pretty awesome because yeah. kids are a gift. But my family's been just really nasty, really ugly towards her. They've pretty much shunned her, and it's affecting my brother and his relationship with our family. And I'm kind of the common denominator between everyone. I get along with my brother even better now, and my family, you know, I can't leave my family. They're my family. But, you know, so how can I help them just be supportive and positive and just open their hearts to try to help them or even just be there for them?
Can you share a little bit about what, how they've been rejecting, that they've been verbally mean? Have they just been snubbing them? Just help us understand what that means.
Okay, well, my mom specifically has been just, she says, you know, kind of derogatory things about the girl. The girl has two kids and, you know, from previous marriages, and now she's with my brother. So my mom is just convinced that it's an anchor baby, that there's nothing really there, that my brother is just, you know, being dumb about the whole thing. And my family has fed off of my mom's negativity. They don't want to see, and this is all my maternal family. They've seen how it's affected my mom, how she's upset. She's not happy with the situation. So they've automatically jumped on her side, and they're just like, what is he doing? You know, he just ruined his life. Now he's stuck with her, and they don't know her. They've literally not had a conversation with the girl. They just know what they know. They've, you know, met her in the sense of hi and bye and, you know, pleased to meet you, but they've not had a conversation with her. They don't know her personality. They don't know, you know, really anything about her. And I've grown to know her since my brother's been dating her. I've invited them to dinner with me and my husband. And, you know, I've gone on little adventures with my brother and
have you
girl.
Had,
so,
have,
I mean,
have you had discussion with your mom? Have you talked to her about being concerned about her negativity?
I have, and I'm a Christian, and so I was raised Catholic. They're all Catholic, and so I tell them, you know, if you know the Lord, then you're not supposed to hate anyone, especially someone that He created, you know. So, and you don't know her to be so nasty and mean. Like, just give her a chance. Just talk to her, and it doesn't end very well. I'll say that it ends with me feeling tense and heavy, and you know, just a burden. But all I can do is pray for him.
Alice, what do you think?
Yeah, I've tried to hear her out. It doesn't go very well.
Yeah.
Barbara, you are so brave to be stepping into the fray, so to speak, and trying to be supportive of your brother and his new wife and their baby. And you're up against a lot. It certainly sounds like you're up against a lot. And you said already you can pray. And of course, we talked about prayer today, that is such a powerful intervention. You asked your mother to meet with the girl with you, given that she's going to have your mother's grandchild, how do you think that would go? How do you think your mom would respond? And what do you think would happen there at the meeting?
Well, when we first met her, it was under my, I guess, suggestion. I told my brother, I was like, hey, Dan, you know what? Let's go to dinner and, you know, I'll pay, you know, I want to meet her because I had never met her before. This was our first time kind of getting together. And my mom's first reaction when I talked to her about it face to face, she was like, oh man, you know, like I don't have anything to say to her. I don't, you know, and I told her, you don't even know her. This is your chance to get to know her. You don't even have to say anything. Just listen. And so we went and it was uncomfortable. It was a little awkward. And, we started eating, you know, we ordered drinks. We didn't get drunk or anything, but we ordered drinks, and my mom started to loosen up. She started cracking jokes and stuff, but the moment the girl would talk, the table would shut down, and you could feel it was coming from one side of the table. And so since then, I've, you know, asked my mom, do you want to go out? You want to come to our house? And she's just like, no, you know, that's okay. I really don't want to, or I'm tired.
Okay.
So we kind of just left it alone. I've not pursued it since then.
And I actually think that may be wise for a time, because you've brought it to your mom's attention, you've tried to bring her into relationship, and your mom just doesn't sound like she's quite ready for it. And bringing them face to face might be pushing more damage than doing good at this point. So I want to give you a couple of things to think about. One is, because you have the love and the generosity to get to know this girl, Could you keep bringing back the good that you learn of her to the rest of your family? Spread the good news of what you see in this woman. And then I also want you to be careful about being triangulated, which is when you get put in the position of trying to be a peacekeeper between two warring sides, and it puts you in a very unfair position. Sometimes even messages are sent through the person being triangulated, and it can put you up against both sides. So you may need to let your mom know, Mom, I'm getting to know my brother's wife, and I'm establishing relationship with her. So I'm just going to be real cautious from here on out, not to speak poorly of her and not to hear her spoken of poorly. So, you know, our family's been getting into that lately. And if that happens again, I need to leave the room for a bit. I need to end the conversation because I really want relationship with her, especially for the sake of the child coming. So I just need you to know in advance, Mom, that I'm not going to be talking that way about her, but I can't hear it either. What would you think about saying that to your mom?
That makes me want to cry. Because I think it brings up feelings of like my family is upset that she's having kids before my husband and I are having kids. And I think that it's just an ugly place to be. And what you said about being triangulated,
yes.
I kind of feel that way now. You know, I feel like we don't want to have kids yet and stuff, so...
Will this be your mother's first grandchild?
It will be, yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, it makes me feel just weird and uncomfortable. They have no reason not to like her, and if I try to stay out of it, you know, so to speak, my family would probably think, oh, she thinks that she's better than us, or... Oh, she doesn't want to. You know, she doesn't want to hear what we have to say. You know, you're on our side of the family.
Well,
there shouldn't be this.
Yeah, there shouldn't be sides. I want to affirm you. I know in my own family, we had a situation, and my wife and I were perplexed. And our response to the perplexion of the challenge of a relationship was, "All we can do is love her. All you can do is love." So keep loving your sister-in-law. And being that mediator, but remember that we're not called to be peacekeepers, we're called to be peacemakers. And Steve has a brilliant saying, I think, that sometimes in order to make the peace, you have to disturb the peace. So if the peace is disturbed, you're doing okay. Don't let that be a bother to you. That says you're doing the right thing. And it's hard.
Awesome. That makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
we're promised that sometimes when we do the right thing, Barbara, it breaks families up for a time and people get upset with us and maybe even move away from us. And as Larry's saying, that may be the very sign that what you're doing is right. And actually, you'd be loving your family well because you're calling your family to a higher level of behavior by your own example. And it's not by pointing fingers.
It is. You're right.
Yep.
Barbara, thank you. Thank you for calling. You're in a tough spot. You're doing well. We want to be an encouragement. And if we can help you, give us a call at 800 New Life and see what they can do to help. We'll be back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Well, we want to go to our final caller, and we're going to speak with Noah. He's been very patient holding on. Noah, how can we help you today? Noah's in Minneapolis. That's Alice's hometown.
It is. Hi, Noah.
And this is on the internet.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I don't even know where to begin, really. But just start off with a question. You know, basically, what is a man to do when his wife has decided and made up her mind that she doesn't want to continue the relationship?
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's hard. How long have you been married?
For about 8 years now.
Okay.
Noah, do you know why your wife decided to end the marriage?
There's so many things, you know.
Okay. Give us a couple.
It's me. I can admit that I have a lot of fault in it. I don't see our marriage as such a bad marriage. It's just like any couple. You know, you go through ups and downs, you go through arguments, you know, here and there. It's not that bad, but I think it's more from reflecting it all. I think it's more like a spiritual thing.
I'm gonna step in to take you right back to where you started. You had the courage to say, "It's me." What would you say are the top two or three things that you have done that have gotten to the point where your wife is leaving?
Maybe think of it from the perspective, what would your wife tell us is the top two or three things?
Well, we've had this talk, and she's told me these things before, and I've tried to change myself, but she said I'm just really negative. I'm not encouraging, you know. There's a lot of little things to it, but you know, those are some of the main things.
Noah, is your negativity the worst thing your wife would bring to our attention?
Can we rule out any unfaithfulness, Noah?
Say that again?
Can we rule out unfaithfulness as one of the things she would say? You haven't had another woman in your life.
No. Okay. No, that's the one thing that I have never done. And you know, I have heard about every man's battle, and I'm just going to use that term, every man's battle. I have every man's battle. Everybody goes through, every single man goes through every man's battle.
No, what do you mean by that for yourself, that you have every man's battle? What does that mean?
It means you have temptations to view porn, to lust, to...
Is it only temptation, or is it actually viewing?
Well, there are acts of doing, I can admit that.
Okay.
So Noah, I'm going to step right in here because it's taken us a bit to get to this, and I'm so glad that you have the humility to tell us you struggle with pornography. Thank you for telling us. but we had to kind of work with you to get this. We had to ask a lot of questions to get this. And I'm going to tell this to you out of love for you and concern for your marriage. It sounds, Noah, like you might have a tendency to minimize, to avoid this topic a little bit, to say, well, it's a spiritual issue. Noah, I think it's a pornography issue. And that has taken such a toll on your relationship with your wife. You may not have been physically unfaithful with another woman, but there is infidelity in pornography use.
And what surrounds this too, Noah, is shame. And you're ashamed of that. And shame is cancerous to relationships and to yourself and how you respond to things.
If I may just say, she has had multiple affairs on me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it took a little bit. It took me to know her well enough to realize what's going on. You know, she acts differently. She comes on to me differently, and I'm like, where is this coming from? So when we broke it down and talked about it, you know, I dug and I dug and I dug, and you know, she eventually came out and told me about it.
So Noah, you know, can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's so important that you told us that, and it's obviously a big factor. But again, you're moving away from you. Now, if we had your wife on the line, we'd be talking to her about those multiple affairs, but we're only talking with you. And you said, it's me. I know a huge part of it is me. Because we're short on time, Noah, we want to stay focused on you because there's hope for you. As long as you're willing to admit, I have a pornography issue, and it had played a big role in the downfall of my marriage. Noah, what have you done to take care of your pornography issue?
Honestly, nothing.
Okay. Thank you so much for admitting that, Noah. That means there's room. That means there's hope for you. Now, I don't know if it's too late for your marriage or not, but you can acknowledge you have a problem you've done nothing about. Noah, we can help. You have called the right place, but you're going to need to take action, which you are because you called. We're going to give you some more steps to take because you need to show your wife that you're willing to do whatever it is you can about your mistakes. You can't fix her affairs. But you can fix your role in this. You can do something about this.
Whether or not your marriage makes it, Noah, you can make it. So Alice is right on. Keep going here, Alice.
So, Noah, there are two things that I need you to look into today. One is Every Man's Battle, which is a therapy intensive weekend that we provide here at New Life. We have it all over the country throughout the year, and we need to get you to that. You probably can't go to it yet today. We'll have it again in a bit. But if you can tell your wife, I've signed up for this, I'm going. We even offer scholarship help if it's needed. The other one is to get with a therapist who can start helping you work through and walk through character growth. And a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting. Now, Noah, those are free. They're all over the place. If you just look it up online, you'll be able to find one and get to one today. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes.
Oh, good, Noah. Good. Good.
Noah, none of this is going to be easy. But the results of it will be freeing for you. And more than anything, you're going to find a freedom like the weight of the world comes off your shoulders. Because you have done the work you need to do. You have dealt with the real issue. You'll understand why you turned to porn and what real intimacy is. And your wife, that's issue number two. She may say, I'm sorry, it's too little too late, I'm out of here. And if she does, there's a hope and a future for you. If she doesn't, there's a hope and a future for your marriage. So I'm very encouraged by Alice's counsel and by your willingness to say you can do that. And if when you look for Every Man's Battle Workshop, don't let the price of that workshop scare you away. If the price is an issue, if you just can't afford it, tell whoever you talk to on the phone, you want to apply for a scholarship. We do not want money to be a reason you don't go to that workshop. Any final thought in the last 30 seconds here, Alice?
quick verse I want to share. This comes from Psalm 34:18. Noah, this is for you and for all of our callers. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Especially if we're willing to reach out for help, there is always hope of redemption and character change.
Noah, we're going to send you the book, Every Man's Battle. And that will be the beginning of your hope and your character change. Because, yeah, this we see this. We see guys every month, 60, 70, 80 guys come into a workshop. They don't want to be there. They're full of shame. And on Sunday, they're not totally fixed, but they have hope, reconnection with God, and a band of brothers that will help them do what they need to do. We love what we do here at New Life. I hope that you'll support us. We could use your help. And we look forward to doing this again each and every weekday. So keep it going. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.